Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode 7 of E4 2017, which is also our E4 roundtable. And so we've got a bunch of people with us. I'm Tommy, of course, Jamie sitting over there. How are you doing, man?
I'm barely alive, but that's a good thing.
We also have Cabbage. What's up, Cabbage?
Not a lot.
We have Josh. How are you doing, Josh?
Hey, I'm really good.
And of course, we got our boy Chad. What's up, Chad?
What's up, gentlemen? And Jamie, how you doing?
Boy, don't you start Dang. With me, man. Don't you start. You don't want to start that war.
But before we get into all the E3 goodness, I have to ask, since you're now here and on the record, Chad, did you hear my impression of you on the first E4 show?
No, it was at the zero. I missed like one of them.
No, it was the very first. It was episode one, episode I believe. One. Is what it was. Yeah.
I see. There was one of them. No, I didn't hear you make it. Maybe I did. I don't know. I hear all of them. They run together, guys. I mean, whatever. I got a couple of them where you were making fun of me.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It gets worse. The later it went, the worse it got. But that
was the seed for all of that. And you get to hear, you said you didn't hear Jamie being broken. So go back and listen to that one. Look at Jamie being broken.
I'm going to have to.
When
I texted you guys the other day, or posted or whatever, I wasn't joking when I was like, they have not kicked my ass for being such a hypocrite, because I talk so much shit about the Switch and then have been such a Switch fanboy since it came out. And then I turned on the podcast like an hour later and got my ass kicked for it. It was really bizarre.
Yeah, we knew it was coming. So good
Trust
time.
Me.
So.
Trust me, man, it just keeps rolling. So
I really hope.
Just wait till you hear the end of this show. It'll be fantastic.
It'll be fun.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at my playlist. I got halfway through episode 0. So I'm going to have to finish that up because I must have missed that part.
Yeah, you'll have to go check it out. So all that being said, we're just going to talk reflections on E3 for this roundtable, and so it's going to be big, wide, open ended. So I'll start at random with Josh. Josh, what did you enjoy from E3 this year?
Oh man, to be completely honest, the majority of the content I've seen was provided by you guys. So the things that you covered in your podcast, which
that's the coolest thing I've ever heard right there.
Yeah, and the video content you guys provided was actually a lot of fun. So you know, great. Seeing your reactions to the trailers was really good. So the Beyond Good and Evil 2 announcement, I don't know, I'm so torn on that because it's awesome. And I know in the pre-show, I actually said I was looking forward to it. So it was really awesome, but, and it does look really cool, but seeing some of the discussions with the developers afterwards, I'm still unsure in what way it's actually related to the first Beyond Good and Evil. Like, it can be completely separate. And you probably wouldn't know. It looks completely different, completely different game. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. And also I really enjoyed Detroit Beyond Human. Getting some more information about that was really, really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, Tommy, I hate to cut him off, but Duff says he's here. Can we get him in here?
Yeah, for sure. I'll add Duff in as we're going here. I'll mention too that we just did our episode 6, which nobody's heard yet because it's not posted. But what you just said, Josh, about Beyond Good and Evil 2, Jamie said a lot of the same things in our episode 6, which I find interesting. There is some trepidation there for sure. Let's go, Chad, while I'm getting Duff in here. Chad, what'd you enjoy from E3?
I really liked Battlefront 2. You know, I really wanted to like the first one, but it didn't have a campaign. And I'm not a big, other than Destiny, a big, you know, online player like that with just randos. But I liked that there's going to be a campaign. It looks like a good campaign. It's going to be canon, according to Lucas. which is going to be awesome. What else was it that I saw? Like, I mean, Mario Odyssey looks pretty cool. A lot of the stuff, I think what I'm finding that I'm seeing on the Switch, where I wouldn't like it as much on the PS4 or the Xbox, I'm liking the fact that it comes out on the Switch and I can take it on the go. So there's a much different set of requirements for the Switch, whereas I would not pick up, you know, such and such game for this console in the house, but I will pick it up because, oh, that'll be great to take with me if I'm going to be at the ballpark or I'm going to be, you know, doing this or doing, you know, doing something where I need to be less bored.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally fair. So, because we gave you crap about Nintendo, you dug Mario Odyssey. You're looking forward to it.
I like the look of it. Yeah. You know, it's very kind of Mario 64 kind of that, the first time we saw him outside of the 2D world. I like that over the last several years they've done like Paper Mario and things like that. I like the whole retro vibe. But I like that they put him, I mean, it looks like he's going to be in some interesting worlds, that we're going to get kind of that 3D world, but maybe Super Mario Brothers 3 type, you know, craziness and things like that. So I don't know. I think I'm sinking my teeth in a bit into the Switch, but there's a lot of really good games coming out otherwise. But there was not a ton for me where I, you know, where it didn't, the whole conference didn't leave me pretty meh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
like
fair.
The Sony conference, Sony conference, Spider-Man, amazing. Like, that's it. I mean, really, that's the only real amazing thing that I freaked out about. And then what, Shadow of the Colossus remake? Like, who was asking for that? I mean, I don't know. I'm just you and two other people. I mean,
no, that's a huge game. That's a huge game.
I'm looking forward to that one, and I didn't really play the original, but man, that game's going to be great.
Yeah, I think you're outnumbered here, Chad. Sorry. Good try, though. Really quick, let me welcome Duff in. How you doing, Duff?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that you're here, I'll ask you the same question we've been asking everybody else. It's just what from E3 got you excited?
Oh, man, it's going to be another great year or two of some great games. I'm just super excited. Also really excited that I think everything that was on my hit list of favorites, and I've got about 9 or 10 really awesome games that I'm looking forward to, are all cross-platform games. Specifically, almost every one I can play on PC with my high-end rig, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
So give us some examples there, because I'm curious to what you're looking forward to.
The two kind of conferences that I didn't really find, I actually made a list of like which press conference actually had the games that I liked. EA had zero of really any clear winners for me. Sony, not really. Microsoft, I really am looking forward to the new Metro Exodus. That looks awesome. The Last Night, Middle Earth, I like those three from Microsoft. For the PC, I just absolutely love Pillars of Eternity, so I'm really excited that they're coming out with the second Pillars of Eternity 2. Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed, Beyond Good and Evil, but who knows when that's going to come out. And, of course, Far Craft. There you go, Tommy.
thank you for that.
I'm psyched about that. Nintendo, I'm to be honest, I'm not really into a lot of the stuff that I saw. It just looks too, like, kiddie, cartoony, I don't know, Zelda, you know, kind of more like...
We got to get him converted. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to get him converted. Dude, you got to get a Switch.
I've got a Switch, and I'm loving Zelda, but other than it being a Zelda box at this point, the only thing I'm excited that they're getting some new games. I like the fact that they get this new Mario Odyssey. I could probably get into that. I think that's just going to be just plain old fun. That looks like a good game. But beyond that, I never really played much of the Metroid series, so I can't say I'm really excited about that yet. Skyrim, obviously, that's cool. I can take it on the go, but I mean, I'd much rather play that on PC. So, yeah.
Yep, fair enough. And then Cabbage, what did you see at E3 that you're excited about?
Oh, geez, a lot of stuff. I have to say that it seems like everybody's down on Sony, and which I found really weird because I know they didn't show anything totally unexpected, maybe aside from them completely remaking Shadow of the Colossus. I didn't think that was going to happen because this isn't a remaster. That's clearly a remake of the game for PS4. And I'm super excited for that. That's one of my favorite games ever. I'm buying that. That's going to be fun. Plus, if they remake it in a way to where it gets rid of some of the buggy, weird control issues that game's always had, that would be cool. Even if it doesn't, I'm still going to enjoy it, I'm going to be honest. But if it does that, that's a plus. But then, I mean, God of War and the new Spider-Man game, just look. The level of cinematic stuff we're getting in these games now is incredible.
I'll jump in there on what he said about Sony, and then I want you to continue, sir, because you made a really good point. There's a lot of people down on Sony. The reason we were down on Sony, all of their stuff looks great, but the problem is we saw it last year, and we got to wait a year, and we're probably going to see most of it again. That was my problem. They have great software. It looks great. I'm so happy to own a PlayStation 4. But the reason I struggle with it is we saw a lot of that last year, and we're probably going to see a good chunk of it again next year before we actually get to play it.
Yeah, and I do understand that. And that makes sense because usually at E3 you're seeing the stuff that you hope at least half of what they show at a press conference you're going to get, you know, at the end of the year that E3 is taking place, as opposed to a year or two later. So I understand that, but I just thought everything they showed, especially like actually showing Horizon Zero Dawn DLC, which just looks it's like great. I want more of that, and then it looks like they've really taken the time to build something that really does add to the original game, as opposed to just, oh, this is stuff that could have been in the main game, but we pulled it out to sell it to you again. It does seem like they've taken their time with that. So it's going to be a full expansion. So that's just cool. But then I just have to say that you guys are saying Nintendo kind of stole the conference. I pretty much agree. I mean, I was going into it thinking that they were going to do their normal Nintendo thing where they maybe show Mario, but then show a bunch of crap I don't care about. And then it's just weird and just makes you wonder how you feel about owning a Nintendo console. All these games that they showed, pretty much everything that they showed, I'm probably going to buy. I mean, I'm going to be honest. In the fact that they announced a Metroid Prime game, which I did not expect, I was super cynical. I'm like, I don't know if they're ever going to do anything with that franchise again. Even just the fact that they said they're making it, I would like to have seen more, but just knowing it's coming is huge. It just made me really happy that I did get a Switch. So,
yeah. As a Metroid fanboy, and everybody knows this who listens to the show, that I'm a Metroid fanboy. That to me, the one single moment that I got most excited in the show was a logo and some words and nothing else. But Metroid Prime 4 on the Switch is the thing I'm probably most looking forward to that I know is coming out of this E3.
If we had gotten that on video, folks, I was sitting next to him. We were watching it on TV. I thought dude was literally going to fall out of his chair.
As you start seeing the logo come together, I was halfway on the floor.
We almost, both of us almost fell out of our chair. I mean, that's kind of one of those things. And Duff, I'll tell you right now, okay, you have a Switch. You're not into Metroid. I know enough about you to know that you pick up one of the two titles that we saw at E3, whether it be on the 3DS or Prime on the Switch. Man, it will own you. I swear to you. It will own you.
The Metroid Prime games are really well done and so radically different than the other Metroid games. It's amazing that this one franchise has produced two completely different gameplay style kind of series that are both really, really solid. So, yeah.
Wasn't that pretty important, though? Let me touch on that.
Go ahead.
The announcement of Metroid was pretty darn important for Nintendo to make, because that's been one of the big questions, like we heard from Duff. You know, you have a Zelda machine, and then you got Mario Odyssey coming out, and then beyond that, this was the beyond that hope that I think that a lot of us that were like, I'm not a big Metroid person, you know, but I'll probably get it because it's going to be cool. It's going to be on the Switch. And it's that hope that we're still getting some really good first party stuff. And we're starting to hear from third parties that they want to jump on board. Like I can't tell you the last time I've played FIFA, whatever you want to call it, but I'll probably pick it up for the Switch just because it looks like something fun that I can play on the go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. And I've seen a lot of kind of backlash on people that aren't as big on Nintendo as maybe we are, that was saying all Nintendo did was show some words and a logo and everybody freaks out. Whereas, you know, like Microsoft shows a brand new super powerful console and people don't seem as necessarily.
Well, we'll get to that. I'm going to tell you why. Oh, okay. I'll let you get to it.
Yeah. Okay. I think
that's an important topic. Yes, yeah, for sure. But I think what Chad hit on right there is why some words and a logo matter a lot, is because it gives a lot of hope to the future of a console that, again, might have just been a Zelda box and could have come out of E3 going, yep, it's just a Zelda box. I think at this point, we're pretty confident that there's going to be a lot more to it. So that's exciting. So now let's transition over to that other side. The big hardware thing from E3 was the Xbox One X. Y'all have heard our thoughts on that. I would love to get some thoughts from you. We'll start with Chad on this one.
Why are you going to start with me?
Because you're
I'll probably
iFi
get it.
Guy.
I mean,
that's why.
Dude, let me just put it to you this way. We're starting with you because you're the jerk that's got all the cool stuff and things
right.
That the rest of us need.
I got to tell you. I can't do anything else. I'm stuck in the house.
Yeah.
So I buy video games.
So you're the resident expert on this now. So go ahead.
I don't know. It might be a more of a compulsion thing. Like I have to have that box. I will only get it. Like I'm going to ask for it for my birthday kind of thing. Like whoever wants to pitch in, I'm not going to spend $500 on it. But I am disappointed that we didn't get some announcements, just like we have that kind of push down the road with Nintendo. You got that promise of Metroid that they're working on it. But with Microsoft, Xbox One X, it was a lot of, hey, Gears of War is going to look better. You know, Halo Wars is going to look a lot better, and a few of these other things. But we didn't get a ton of, hey, you know, if you're going to buy Destiny, it's going to look so much better here. They've actually backtracked and said, no, Destiny's not going to look any better there. It's just not going to happen on the Xbox One X. So we haven't been given a real big reason to buy it yet. And for a lot of the things that I heard and I agree with, was that it was almost important for them to put out something, you know, even though Halo 6 isn't nearly ready, you know, a la The Last of Us 2, if we could have had some teaser of that, or the next Gears of War, or Gears of War, you know, DLC or something like that, those flagships that do sell the Xbox running on the One X, that would have helped, but it wasn't there.
And
you know, who gives a shit about Forza? I already said that about something else. I'm hoping that I'm not the only one, but who gives a shit about
Forza? No, you're not. And the thing that scared me, and I talked about this on the previous show, which you guys will hear later, but I was talking to a guy at work this morning that is normally on the bandwagon to buy new hardware and stuff. And he goes, the only compelling reason to buy this thing is that it has a UHD Blu-ray player built into it, yeah, and most of those standalone UHD Blu-ray players suck. And so if you want a good HD Blu-ray player or UHD Blu-ray player, it's going to be the one on the market that you want to buy, but it's $500. So there's that, and that's not a good selling point for Microsoft. It's like, yeah, you got the best UHD player on the planet. That's not what they want to hear.
Yeah. Cabbage, what were your thoughts?
Well, yeah. First of all, I know it's a small thing, but the Xbox One X is the most repetitive, stupid name for a console I think I've ever heard.
Agreed.
I mean, seriously, I don't understand. They're almost, and they're probably going to market it better than Nintendo did with the Wii U because everybody markets better than Nintendo. But imagine going into a store and you're not somebody that is really into gaming in the way that pretty much we are. You know, this is an enthusiast thing to do a podcast about games and stuff. Most people who play games don't do that. They play games casually. Imagine that person walking into Best Buy or GameStop and seeing the Xbox One X, and it's $500. And you're like, why do I need this console? Well, you don't need it to play all the new games coming out, of which there's lots of stuff, but none of it's exclusive. We'll get to that in a second. But it's like, okay, so you're going to walk into the store and see this $500 console that has an X at the end. And you're like, okay, what's the difference? It's more expensive. I don't actually need it. Games will certainly look better if I have a 4K TV, which a lot of people do now, but not everybody does. I don't. It seems like most people here don't. I think it's pretty much Chad. Maybe I'm wrong there. But, so it's a really niche thing that they didn't do enough to sell to anybody who isn't all on sort of the 4K. I don't want to say bandwagon in a negative way, but because obviously that is the next step. But it is a very niche thing right now. So it's like, why do I need this console? And especially if you happen to, this is not as casual gamery, but if you have a gaming PC like I do, and it seems like most of us do, what reason should I have? That's why I said most. So what reason do I have to have an Xbox One? I had one at some point, but I got rid of it because I had a PC, a gaming PC, and almost everything that I care about that's coming out on this thing in the next year or so is also going to be on PC. Even if I wanted to play Forza, the new one's going to be on PC. You know, and the best game that they showed at their conference was an EA game. It was Anthem, and that's not an exclusive game. It might look better in terms of the consoles on the Xbox One X, but I can get it on the PS4, I can get it on the PC. So I was going to that really hoping, because I want to own all these, I'm sorry, like I want to have all the stuff. But if you don't sell, if you don't,
we all want to. Give us a reason, because yeah, I want to buy it.
I went into it wanting a reason to go buy that thing. I was like, if you sell me on it, I will go pay the $500. But they didn't give me one good reason. Now, if I did have a nice 4K TV, maybe. I could definitely see me wanting to do that and take advantage of that TV. But I don't have that. And I'm completely fine with the stuff I have now. I don't have anything in 4K, and I think everything still looks great. I'm still not sold on 4K. I know it's better, but I personally don't see the need to get it. So it's like, the best thing they showed is a game that I'm not going to be getting an Xbox One X to play. I'm going to be playing it probably on my PC, and that's Anthem. So,
yeah, I think that's fair. I think Microsoft's done a kind of interesting boxing themselves in with so many of the great first-party in-house titles that they have are coming to PC, that it gets you to this point with Microsoft that if you own a PC, it doesn't really give you a reason to own an Xbox One. And so it locks out that PC market, although us that have gaming PCs still have a reason for a PlayStation or still have a reason for a Switch. And so Microsoft's kind of narrowing their field, their potential consumer base with that, which is smart in some ways because it increases their PC gaming presence. But for just the console side of it, it feels like their numbers are always going to be low because of that, especially with the Xbox One X, which seems to appeal to people like Chad. I don't say this in a negative way, that don't game on the PC but want that kind of PC level experience on a console. That's where you can get it at this point, which is great, but I think that's a fairly narrow market.
I'm really hoping that it's gonna be a little more future proof than some of the other boxes. That, and then the 4K Blu-ray players, you know, is a big deal for me. You know, I'm not a huge one, but you know, I don't tend to play too many discs on it. But I was wondering if anybody thought, like, the One X, like you Cabbage, you mentioned the naming, why is it called the Xbox One X? Is it possible they tried to really correlate it with Windows 10, you know, X 10, since they're trying to do this whole cross platforming thing, and this is basically the Windows 10 game console? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could just be, it seems a little too coincidental for that not to be somewhat of the case.
if they did that, they didn't explain it. And so,
you know what I think they
needed to clarify.
What I think they should have called it, and maybe it's just my brain and this makes sense, but they should have called it the Xbox either One 4K or Xbox 4K. Because the big selling point is that it does 4K, and if you want to be even really cutesy with it, this is powerful enough to technically be their next console. I know they're calling it the One and it's backwards compatible, but honestly, the price point and how much better it is, this is basically their next console. It would be the fourth Xbox. So just call it the Xbox One 4K. It makes more sense.
I like that a lot, but I want to bring up an angle that somebody at work brought up this morning, which I thought was great. If you look at the system specs, okay, Tommy, you and I have got I've got a 1080, you've got a 1070. Duff, you've got a 1080 over there, right? Or did you buy a 1070?
Duff left.
He left, okay.
I'll try to get him back, but he's all not
right.
here.
All
so
right.
Sorry, Duff.
The point that I was trying to make was a guy I was talking to this morning said if you really look at the specs, it's the equivalent of a 1060. The card that I've got in my rig right now is better than what's in that. They're talking about 11 gigs of RAM, but it's 11 shared gigs of RAM and so on and so forth. He said, if you've got a 1060, you're on the equivalent with the Xbox One X and a gaming PC. I don't know if that's completely true because it's a dedicated machine for games and that's all it does, but it's a very compelling argument.
Yeah, but how much did we pay for our rigs? It's still a cheaper option than a high-end
exactly.
gaming PC, which is smart. It needs to be, even though it's still a heck of expensive box. So, Josh, let me get you in on this. What are your thoughts with the Xbox One X?
Yeah, pretty similar. Echoing a lot of what you guys have said already. One thing that caught me is that the hardware in it actually is rather quite impressive. Rather quite impressive for a console. I'm pretty similar. I'm a PC gamer as well. I also have a PS4, which I do a lot of my gaming on. But the hardware, I'm definitely not playing into the whole, you know, PC versus console thing at all. But the hardware inside this is actually quite interesting. So they didn't come out and say it. I know that there's 12 gig and it is shared memory. But it's an AMD APU, same as the previous consoles. But there's some stats they leaked out. No one's come out and confirmed it yet, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say I'm pretty sure it's a Raven Ridge APU inside this inside the Xbox One X. There we go. It's a mouthful. I'm pretty sure it's a Raven Ridge APU, which they're unreleased on the PC side yet. The interesting thing about those is that the memory is, I'm pretty sure it's HBM memory, which is the first that technology doesn't exist in any consumer desktop PCs yet. So I'll be interested to see what sort of performance that offers. And on building on that, the games that they did demonstrate, they didn't look that great. I don't think they did anywhere near good enough job to demonstrate the power of this machine. Probably the prettiest game I saw was either Assassin's Creed or Forza. And Forza, it didn't look like it looked good. Like, don't get me wrong, but it didn't look that fantastic. Again, I'm not playing into, you know, console wars, but looking at what Gran Turismo Sport is going to look like on the regular PS4, and then looking at Forza supposedly on the Xbox One X hardware, it didn't look that fantastic. So, but all that being said, I'm sort of glad that Microsoft has gone ahead and released this hardware, because I'm really hoping that between Microsoft and Sony, they are sort of doing this iterative release cycle of console hardware. So we're no longer going to have this big generation gap where you jump from one generation to the next. And the problem with that, as we've seen, is I know backwards compatibility, you know, you can have a discussion one way or another, but it is always, especially at the start of a new console life, it is always such a pain to have to restart your entire library again. We can have like an iterative process, similar to what happens at the moment with a mobile phone, for example. They release new phones, you can still have access to all of your existing library of apps and games and everything, and just the hardware gets better and better. So I'm liking where things are going, but I really don't think Microsoft did a good job of demonstrating that.
Yeah, I think that was really good analysis of both their lack of showing it off, but also that idea of maybe this is what console generations look like in the future, where it's kind of a continuous spectrum as opposed to that big jump. And so that got me excited. So thanks for that.
Yeah, but how do you show it off when most of the audience doesn't have 4K TVs? I mean, there are so many limitations, just like VR, you know, hey, there's a guy on the stage and he's got a helmet on his head. You know, I mean, there's not a lot you can really show off with that.
You can show off the graphical prowess of it. And that's where I think they didn't do a good job, is they didn't bring out really good looking games to show off on it. Even if not in 4K, you can still show me that these games are really, really pretty, how they're rendered, everything else, and they didn't do a good job of that.
I'll take frame rate over resolution. If they could have showed some games, hey, on the old one, it runs at 30 frames per second. On the One X, it runs at 60 frames per second.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good way.
Well, and what Cliffy B said during the week sticks with me, because he was talking about Lawbreakers and had a lot of interesting stuff to say, as he always does. and he said, look, if you give me anything under 60, I'm not touching it. It's like, ew. And even at 60, like, I want triple that. If I'm really going to play, I want 144. That's what that hardware needs to do. Okay? If you give me Halo, whatever number, over 60 frames a second, there's going to be a lot of people that are happy.
And it should be, the hardware should be powerful enough to do that with a lot of these games on there, you know, and like Josh is saying, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for them to do, almost with every game, do a side-by-side comparison. Now, is that going to somehow maybe alienate people that currently have the one, that might want to stick with the normal one? Sure, but you got to sell the new thing. I mean, Apple does this all the time. They do the charts. They do this is the crappy iPhone you have now. And then they show the new one, and they show how better it is. It's like, there's a way to do it that isn't necessarily insulting or something. I'm not saying that's why they didn't do that. It's just maybe that's part of it. But why did they not show, like, hey, this game's going to look great on the Xbox One if you can buy it there, but then just go straight to the Xbox One X, say, oh, this is it running at 60 frames. And I was looking for that, and I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it, but I was especially looking for something like that on, like, Anthem or something.
Yeah.
That they're going to try to sell it, even though it's not their game. They clearly paid to have EA show that, similar to what Destiny, for the first game, Destiny always was marketed as a PS4 game. I'm kind of expecting that to happen with Anthem, where it's going to be marketed as an Xbox One game, even though it's not exclusive. But they should show off that, hey, if you play it here, it's going to look better, it's going to run faster. And maybe they will do that, but they just didn't. They didn't sell it. They didn't sell that game for their console for me. I was sold on the game, beginning on PC, but I was kind of hoping to be sold for that console. That would have been cool.
Well, we still have time, and I'm predicting that they're going to do that. I'm predicting right here, and you guys can tell me I'm wrong later, that they're going to do almost exactly that with Red Dead. That they're going to throw down Rockstar cash. Microsoft is going to hand Rockstar cash and say, this is going to be not any kind of exclusive or anything, but just like you had with Destiny and PS4, that they're going to say, if you want Red Dead, Red Dead's gorgeous. It's the most gorgeous on the Xbox One X. I think, because you're going to be able to sell Red Dead. I mean, we're talking about a November, you know, holiday type selling, that you could say Red Dead's coming out, you know, first or second quarter of next year. It's going to be the best on this system. I think we're going to see that with Red Dead. I think that's going to be a big one.
It would be smart. It would be a good play by them.
I just want to say really quickly, speaking of that game, that's one of the surprises that was not there at all.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking that, and I know Rockstar has been a little bit weird with E3 in the last few years from what I remember, but I was expecting to see something, because even though it was delayed, that game is coming out, what was it, early next year? They're saying, I think they said spring or something. So, But I was expecting to see something else. And then also, I know it always seemed like it was far off, but I was shocked to not see any Last of Us 2. I was thinking they'd show something else, even if it's just another trailer, which at this point, it would probably have to be a trailer. So.
Yeah, but you got to think, too, they're probably saving some of that stuff for PSXs and things like that. So
And that's something that I brought up, and Tommy sort of had an argument against for the reason why some of that didn't show up is they're really trying to make PlayStation Expo a really big deal. So next PlayStation Expo is probably going to be all about The Last of Us 2. And that's fine, but the argument that he made is, look, E3 is still the biggest show on the planet, and we talked about in the show that we just recorded that's not on the air yet. It's kind of cool to tease a show that hasn't been put up yet, but we talked about the fact that Sony may be getting pretty arrogant with some of the stuff that they're doing. And this may be another one of those examples.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think they're kind of justified in it when you show Spider-Man and God of War looking how good they look. I mean,
sure,
that's exactly what I want to see from Sony, because they're doubling down on the stuff that Microsoft won't do. Microsoft will not get these exclusive single-player epic games. They apparently they don't really care about that anymore. Seems like their business model is just sort of hosting third-party multiplayer games. And they'll make their stuff sometimes. We'll get it rarely, but it seems like it's pretty rare. But Sony's doubling down on, we're just going to get some of these guys like Sucker Punch and Naughty Dog and all these people to just make these games for us, and you have to come to our console for it. Like Horizon Zero Dawn's a perfect example of that. So
Well, and we're getting Horizon DLC.
And it looks so good.
You know, we talked about last Sony put out this, and it's not going to be done. Horizon DLC and Uncharted, those are two what would be considered by many other companies complete games. Yeah. You know, they're very good games that we're going to get. Uncharted's what can be $40, $30, something like that. But it's supposed to be like a 10-hour experience in the Uncharted universe made by Naughty Dog. Give it to me. What is a couple of months from now? Same thing with Horizon. So we're getting those. So not only are we getting these other things where we got these teasers, but we got those coming out very soon as well. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff. And then I don't know if you guys saw that text that I sent, but there was Sony very smartly said, hey, E3 just happened. Here's some really good deals on some previous E3, you know, stuff that we talked about or announced at E3. Yeah, yeah. I picked out the Evil Within, and we're going to have the Evil Within 2 coming out. I picked up the Evil Within for like $14, $14.99, you know, a bunch of Telltale stuff and everything. So get your mouth wet and ready for when those new exclusives do come out.
Yeah, I would still make the argument at this point that if you want a console and you can only have one console in this generation, it's the PlayStation 4 that you need to have. That's for especially the way that we approach games. That's where the most compelling content is. It just didn't blow me away, Sony, like they have the past couple of years. Like, it just felt like a little bit of a lax year for them, even with great content. God of War's awesome. Spider-Man's awesome. Uncharted's awesome. Like, they have this stuff, but just there was something missing, that big thing, which I think would have been The Last of Us. If they would have had The Last of Us there at the end of it, I think that would have been huge. So,
Would that have been a really repeat of last year? I mean, that's what they did last year. And then I think that was the very last video. We got Ellie, and she's playing the guitar, and everybody exploded. So are you going to do two conferences the same? But they ended this one with Spider-Man gameplay, right? Is that's what?
Which was the second to last thing that they had last year?
That was the second to last.
Right?
What was the? Yeah, well, that was just some rendered trailer. This was, you know, in-game.
Right. Sure. So, but you know, they would have also showed in-game of The Last of Us, that would have been a big, big deal.
Yes.
Whether or not they're there, it could do that, obviously, right? But that's what the kind of expectation from Sony, for me at least, going in at this point is. So anyway, it's a good time to be a gamer because there's still a lot of really, really great content out there. Even with kind of the shifting sands of what the industry looks like, it still feels really good. And there's awesome stuff.
Real quick, speaking of really awesome stuff, I want to get, since we got Josh here, since we got Cabbage here, since Chad's here, I want to get everybody's 2 cents on Bethesda because we're talking about stuff that's coming. Bethesda. I'm not sure who that was.
That was me.
Okay. All right. So here's a good topic, Ben, because we don't feel that way. So explain to me and explain to Tommy why you feel that way, because I came out of Bethesda's show going, you know, again, everything that they're talking about is coming out this year. I'm really happy about that. And it may be, a lot of that may be because we have a VR rig and we're going to get to play with a lot of it. So talk to us about how you're feeling.
Well, okay. So here's the thing with Bethesda. Bethesda does this annoying thing to me where, so Bethesda is a huge publisher now. So they publish a lot of great games like Dishonored series, Wolfenstein. The new Wolfenstein looks amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. But I separate Bethesda with what they publish, which they really have nothing to do with. They just publish games that are better than what they usually make. I'm sorry, but it's true for me. And then they have their games they make, and now all they do is they milk Skyrim, and now they're milking Fallout 4. And then I think it's incredible that you can go on Steam and see the page for Fallout 4 VR, and it's $60. So you're going to charge people that have bought that game the same price that they paid to buy the game brand new just because you're adding in a VR mode. I don't see how they can justify charging full price for something that for a lot of other games you'd think would just be a DLC add-on or even a free update. I'm sure it takes an amount of work. I'm not saying it's just some gimmicky thing. Maybe it will actually play really well, but is it really $60 to get? And then also, is this going to be Fallout 4 with all the content? Because by the time it comes out, all that DLC has been out. Is this going to be like the collector's version? Or are you charging people $60 to just get the base game just so they can play it in VR? I think that's almost old EA level. I think EA has gotten better with how greedy they are. They've gotten better, and Bethesda's the new EA. I mean, they just milk the same thing over and over. They got to put Skyrim on every console. It's just silly to me. The fact there's Dishonored 2 DLC coming out, it'll probably be good because I've really liked everything that Arkane's done with that series. The new Wolfenstein looks great. Evil Within, I never played it, so I don't have an opinion. I didn't even watch anything on the new game. I don't know, but everything that's ever good from Bethesda now is basically from the games that they publish, that they have. They don't touch it at all except just advertising it. The stuff they make, I'm so cynical about it because it just seems like they make a game, it's successful, and instead of trying to do anything new with it, they just milk the same things that they've been doing over and over. That's how I felt with Fallout 4. I actually ended up not liking that game because it felt like it was not nearly as ambitious or meaningful in the stories and content as Fallout 3, and especially New Vegas, which, again, they didn't make. That was Obsidian. So you're getting how I feel about Bethesda.
Tommy, all of that being said, I agree with most of what he said, with the exception of you played Fallout 4. I haven't yet because I haven't had the cash to pick it up yet. I know you loved it. As far as Fallout 4 goes, what do you think?
I'm the outlier of at least Cabbage and Chad on this because I enjoyed Fallout 4 more than I liked Fallout 3. I never played New Vegas and I'm missing out on it. I realize. Right. But I love Fallout 4. I thought it was a really well done game. I enjoyed the environment, everything about it. I agree with the kind of cash cow aspect of that. And if, but I could totally see it happening. If it's $60 for Fallout VR, that's not any kind of discount for somebody who already owns it or whatever. To be perfectly candid, I don't own it. I got it through Gamefly and played it on the PS4. And so I love the game, not enough to buy it, which is most games, to be fair, but that's where I am on it. If they did that, that's a cash grab. That feels really bad, and especially if it's not connected with the content that's already out there and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I don't love everything that they do in the approach to the business necessarily, and I can definitely see the EA comparisons. But the fact that they're still the publisher for some really good stuff, it still has me excited. I'm really excited about Wolfenstein, which isn't something I anticipated being excited about coming into E3. I'm really excited to play around with Skyrim in different worlds. How much of that actually happens, we'll see. But that's more so Switch and PlayStation VR, both the places I can get it without committing to it. I can get it through Gamefly or something like that and play around with it and send it back. And so I think some of it's just perspective. I just love the fact that they showed games that I think look really, really good and are coming this year, which is something that was lacking from a lot of people at E3 this year. A lot of the great stuff that we saw is at least a year away, which is a bummer.
Well, and the thing that gets me about it is I saw their conference and it made me want to go back and play old stuff. It reminded me, okay, the new Wolfenstein looks great, and everybody that you look at as far as reviews go, said that a new world was great if you got past the first hour. So, like, my morning this morning was looking at a new order on Steam, which is like $10 this weekend, and I'm going, I don't have money to pay for this, but I really want to play that game. And I haven't bought it yet, like my finger's twitching on the button, like I really want to play it. And so I'm I can't believe I'm saying that about a game from 2014, but that's what the new Wolfenstein did for me. It's like, hey, I got to get back into this world.
Yeah. And to be fair, Skyrim from 2011 was all over E3. So that was a little bit of a theme too of these old games. So, any other thoughts, takeaways anybody have from E3 before we wrap this thing up?
Is PSVR dead?
No.
I mean, come on.
They
ignored it like Harry Potter and just shoved it under the stairs. It's there. It's there, but you know, we don't do anything with it. Like, I mean, they announced a couple of bullshit games that nobody really cares about, and
yep.
Yeah.
And you know,
past couple of years where it's just been huge, it's been everywhere. I mean, when I would go to conventions, they were everywhere, and then now it was just you know, the little back end reel of a couple of things that aren't too impressive other than Fallout, right? I mean,
yeah, go ahead, Cabbage.
I just wanted to say real quick, because you're talking about PSVR, like I don't have anything VR, I don't own anything VR, but I want it to succeed because the things I hear about it from you guys and other people sounds interesting. It sounds like something that is getting to the point where it's not as gimmicky anymore. It is really good, especially if you have something like the Vive. It sounds like really compelling, fun stuff you can do in there. So I want it to succeed, and that's why it's sad to see. I'm not really sure what Sony's doing with PSVR. Like, it's sold fairly well. They've done some stuff, but I was actually expecting that to be a huge thing for them in their conference. And
yeah,
maybe I missed it, but I don't think I saw anything PSVR except the horrible Final Fantasy thing.
That was terrible. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. Yeah. But they did have a couple of titles right there in the middle of the press conference, kind of buried, and they went through them quickly, which didn't quite give it some people are saying they didn't give it enough of a platform and they're bummed by that. Some people are saying, why in the world was PSVR even in part of that? They should have kept it all out. So they kind of hit a bad place of not pleasing anybody. But the number of PSVR titles that I've seen in E3, most of which they didn't show at the actual press conference, it's really impressive. Like, they have a lot of software out there, some of which looks pretty trash, some of which looks really compelling in trying to do VR in different ways. There's this like slot car racer that's weird, it's weird perspective. There's Moss that they kind of teased in the thing that's like a Zelda-ish kind of thing, but you are like the guardian, the like keeper of this little mouse that's going around, and like you help protect it and do stuff. It could be a terrible gameplay mechanic, but it's VR doing something that's not a first person shooter. And that's what I was really excited about from VR. They just did a really crappy job of actually showing it to people. Yeah,
there
There's
you go.
Tons of content.
That's my point. I mean, that seems very intentional, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I was just in a local, I don't go into a retail store to buy games often, but I was actually surprised by how many VR titles, PlayStation VR titles there were. I was like, wow, there's quite a lot of content out there. But the problem is, similar to sort of 3D, it's like, how do you sell that to a mass audience, right? Yeah. Convincingly.
I think that's a big, big part of it is it's hard to show off in a press conference like that. And to be perfectly candid, I think Sony screwed up a lot of things in their press conference. I just wasn't super impressed with their press conference overall. And so maybe they should have showed it more. But yeah, it's something that's hard to wrap your head around if you don't have the thing on your face. And
I don't just think that's Sony. Hey. I think that that's the trend across the whole VR market in general, PC as well. They're really struggling to try and find traction to get it out there to new non-hardcore gamers.
Yeah, completely agree. I think Sony is the one that has the chance to make it mainstream, or is this mainstream if it's ever going to be? It may not ever be really mainstream, but Sony being focused and having not like the PC where everything's kind of disparate, there's all these different developers. Sony can really put resources behind this. What they need to do is say, hey, we've got really cool content. Go check it out at whatever retailer they're partnering with, Best Buy or GameStop or whatever. We have demo stations set up for you to really see these games for free. You can go there tomorrow or whatever. That, I think, would have meant a lot more than just the little montage in the middle.
And for me, the thing is with PlayStation VR is I feel like again, it's one of those things where everybody is sort of trying to find out how to sell this stuff, as you guys were just saying. Like, how do we sell this to the public? We played over the weekend, we played Arizona Sunshine on the Vive, and it's ridiculous. Like it's just amazing to be in that environment. I've done it, now Tommy's done it, and it is by far the best VR title we've ever played. And we're excited about the fact that from this point on, it's just going to get better. But how do you express that to somebody that doesn't have it?
Yeah.
And that's the struggle.
Yeah, for sure. I think Sony is best positioned to do that, but they got to do a more concerted effort of it. That said, there's tons of software that's on the show floor that wasn't part of the conference. That's a shame, because there's some really good, compelling, again, innovative stuff. That's where we are with VR now. It's like proof of concept is done. We know it works, and we know it has this kind of gimmicky quality to it. Now we need to start getting depth. And where I was excited about VR, and kind of the opposite opinion maybe of Chad, of seeing it being dead or the death of PlayStation VR, of seeing kind of the second life of it, in that now we're going to get compelling gameplay experiences that aren't just, hey, give this to your buddy so they could put it on and be freaked out for 10 minutes about how cool VR is, but something you actually want to immerse yourself in. And so I'm hopeful. I could be totally off base with that. Jamie and I are VR fanboys, and I think that's pretty clear on everything we've done on the show for a while. I wish Duff was still here, because he's in that world too and could speak to that a little bit more. So I was encouraged for PlayStation VR.
Absolutely.
Well, awesome, guys. Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
I just gifted Jamie Wolfenstein.
Nice.
Well, you said it's only $10, and I was like, I'm just gonna buy it for you, dude. You need to play it.
Much love, Kevin.
That's kind of you. Seriously. Well played.
Hey.
Offer not extended to anyone else.
Hold up. We have to take this time to say thank you to everybody, and most of them are here who support us day in and day out. That's a great example, live on the air. The dude supporting my gaming habit. That's a scary thing. We are so lucky to have the people supporting us that we do. As much crap as we give Chad, who is apparently in the bathroom right now.
I'm back.
He's back. as much crap as we get, Chad, he's done a lot to support us the last couple of years. All you guys on this call have done a huge amount to support us over the last couple of years. We cannot be in a better place than we are right now. We certainly appreciate you guys. I hope we say that enough. Because it's just ridiculous what you guys continue to do for a mediocre, crappy podcast that nobody really listens to. I'm pretty sure you guys are pretty much it. Like you guys might be the only listeners we've got. I don't know. But after 12 years, I still feel good about doing this show.
Agreed. 100% yeah. Agreed.
The reason I still listen to this show, like, after this time is that you guys, you still just sound like, you just sound like regular people, right? Like, you're just a couple of guys that, like, really like gaming, and you just, you know, talking about it and discussing it, and what you see is what you get. A lot of other shows, it's like, it's especially nowadays, everyone's trying to get everyone's attention, and it's super overproduced, and it's like, you know, that trope at the end of, like, yeah, like, hit like and hit that subscribe button. Oh, yeah, God, you know, like.
Hey, now I
like and subscribe, guys. Yeah.
Now I feel really bad because ever since we started the Patreon, we've been doing that.
Well, no, not in the same way. That's very different.
We're stuff out a lot too.
Yeah.
The irony is, you guys are probably the most qualified podcasters when it comes to audio production. So, right.
For what that's worth, it gets you a long ways. But to echo Jamie, we really do think you guys. I'll mention Duff here too, who was with us, and we lost him, and I couldn't get him back in. But Duff has obviously contributed a ton to this as well, and everybody that's supporting us on Patreon, even if you're not part of the roundtable. Yeah, thank you guys a ton. It's awesome. And us getting to do what we love to do and now getting to play more games because of it, because of you guys is phenomenal. Just the best thing in the world. So, yeah, thank you guys a ton. We don't say it enough, and we say it a lot, and we still should say it more. So, yeah, for what that's worth. All that, we need to wrap up. So thank you guys for being here and discussing E3, and it was fun, and looking forward to the next roundtable. Pretty soon be talking about more games, because that's what we do. So for right now, we're Gaming Uncensored. This has been E4, and we are out.
And this loser wants a nickname, seriously.
I can't hear any of you guys for some reason. What the fuck?
I really hope you're recording.
Okay. There we go.
We could definitely hear you.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Recover.
I think you broke Jamie.